This morning, the homotheme is from the book of Matthew, the Christological title of Jesus Christ, and John chapter 1, the different terminology used to describe Jesus Christ. And tomorrow morning, another homotheme is from John. Every word relating to true or truth. It's interesting. You just go through the Bible once and try to list out all the true or truth. And think about the meaning inside, because we are going to discuss one by one. Tomorrow is Wednesday, right? Thursday morning, another homotheme. You go through the whole book of Luke, the book of Luke, and list out all the words about joy, joyful, joy, happy. Just try to make your life more difficult. If you want to find out the joy, you have to study from chapter 1 to last chapter. And it helps you to study the Bible, make you to have some incentive to read the Bible. Homework lists out all the terminology about joy, joyful, or anything related to that topic. And we are going to spend about another hour to discuss. Is it a joyful thing this morning we would like to continue to study the Sermon on the Mount. Last night we briefly studied Beatitude. I want to ask for a volunteer. Anyone who can recite Beatitude? Raise your hand. Let us try, huh? Don't look at the Bible. Let us try. First, what is the first blessing? What is the first blessing? Poor spirit is the condition. What kind of blessing? The first blessing? Huh? Inherit the kingdom of God. This is the first blessing. And what is the criteria to have this? What is the condition to have this blessing? Poor in spirit, right? What is the second blessing? Huh? Being comforted. And what is the condition? You should be mourned. Did you mourn this morning? Okay. If you mourn this morning, you will be comforted. Okay. What is the third blessing? Inherit the earth. Okay. What is the condition? Meek. Okay. What is fourth blessing? To be filled. What is the condition? Hungry and thirst for righteousness. How about the fifth? Obtain mercy, right? Okay. And what is the condition? Be merciful. How about the sixth one? To see God. Okay. What is the condition? Pure in your heart. What is the seventh one? Be called Son of God. That is a very noble status. And what is the condition? Be a peacemaker, not troublemaker. What is the last blessing? The kingdom of heaven. Okay. What is the condition? To suffer for the sake of righteousness. That is a blessing. Okay. So this is the Beatitude. Eight different kind of blessing. How many different blessings are you going to receive in this NYTS? Seven. It's very difficult for you to receive the eighth blessing here. Nobody going to persecute you. Did Preacher Huang to persecute you? Let's come back to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophet. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. To fulfill the requirement of the law. The law requires us to be righteous. If you observe all the law, you will become a righteous person. And how did Jesus fulfill? He died for us. He said, right now, you only believe in him, you will become a righteous person. And then you will be considered, you will be justified to be righteous. And verse 20, for I say to you that unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Before we study the verse after verse 20, let us first understand this verse. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees so that we can enter the kingdom of heaven. What is the righteousness of Pharisees or scribes? Superficial. Okay. Anything else? What is the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes? Our righteousness, right? Because the Pharisees and scribes, they emphasize on law. Dealing with something inside. Now, so later on, Jesus Christ is to explain what does that mean to eat the righteousness of Moses and of Pharisees and scribes. The righteousness of the word. Law is the law of Moses require you to keep it outwardly, but it did not deal with something inwardly. So to keep the Mosaic law, you will become a very superficial, righteous person. And sometimes a person will be misled about their own outward righteousness when, according to the law, they feel that they are righteous in front of God. Actually, it is not. Because God not only look into the righteousness of your outer conduct, but God look into the righteousness of your heart. So the righteousness must exceed the righteousness of Pharisees and scribes. One of the examples is keeping the Sabbath. Keeping the Sabbath, more important is from the bottom of your heart. You are waiting to separate this day as a holy day and honor God as your law in your heart, and spend this day and to be close to God. From your heart, you are waiting to sacrifice, you are waiting to be near to God. Now, But if you only keep the law of Moses, then you come to the church physically. So physically you keep the Sabbath. But maybe in your heart you are unwaiting. And in your heart you still think about planning something about in the world. So physically, maybe you are right, but inside your heart, you are not right at all. And then there was a brother in New Jersey. One day he was helping the church to take care of the yard. It was a Friday afternoon. All of a sudden, there was an older man crossing the street and come approach him and say, "Can you help me?" And he looked at the older man and say, "Okay, I just follow you." Because the opposite side of the church is a Jewish community center. So he followed the older man and entered into the room. The older man pointed at the switch to help me to turn on the light. Oh. And this brother said, "Why?" And the old man said, "Well, right now is the beginning of Sabbath. We cannot turn on the light." And the brother say, "Okay, turn on the light is a sin. You don't want to sin, you ask me to sin." So this is the our righteousness, emphasized by the law of Moses. But in God to your heart, God is spirit. So those who won't worship God must worship from the spirit inside your heart. Start from verse 21 and until to the end of the chapter 5. He make a lot of comparison about the righteousness of the Pharisees and how to exceed their righteousness. Chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 verse 21 to 26 is talking about you shall not murder. Which commandment? Sixth commandment, right? Okay. And verse 27, you shall not commit adultery. Which commandment? Seven. So Jesus Christ tried to use two commandments to tell us what does that mean? Our righteousness should exceed the righteousness of Pharisees. No. Verse 21, Matthew chapter 5. No. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murder will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be danger of the judgment. And whoever say to the brother Reka shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says you fool shall be in danger of the hell's fire. Even though we never commit murder, we never kill anybody, but in the bottom of our heart, if we are occupied by hatred or bitterness towards others, then we will be brought to judgment. So if we look into the sixth commandment superficially, yes, we never murder. But if we look deeper into our heart, you never hate anybody. You never have that kind of bitter feeling about anybody. And all of a sudden we find out we are a sinner. So God tries to judge us not only by outer behavior, but also include the inner thought, the inner motivation. So spiritual cultivation is not only deal with the outer behavior, it also includes the inner thought, the inner motivation. So nowadays, we have to look very deeply with our thought. And verse 23 talking about if you don't forgive others, you still have some kind of resentment. You still have some kind of hatred buried in the bottom of your heart. Even though superficially you can greet him the one you dislike, superficially you can talk very happily, very diplomatic to everybody surrounding you, make peace with everybody. But in the deepest part of your heart, if you still have a resentment, dislike, or hatred, then when you kneel down and pray, God is not going to listen. No. Because God looks into your heart, whether your heart is righteous, not only your outer behavior. So verse 23 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So the reconciliation between men is a precondition of our reconciliation between God. If you cannot reconcile yourself with a particular person, you cannot reconcile yourself with God. The reason you cannot reconcile yourself with a particular person because there's something inside. And that something will hinder your relationship with God. So sometimes the relationship between husband and wife, if there is a strife, if there's a tension inside, and without resolving this tension or this kind of bitterness, you kneel down and pray. It's very difficult for you to have effective prayer. So the relationship between God and the relationship between men is just like two sides of the coin. You cannot cut it completely, separately, two sides. So if you want to have a good relationship with God, let us try from the bottom of your heart, forgive others, love others. Don't have hatred, don't have bitterness, don't have resentment. And this is not easy, because we human beings, it's not easy to forgive others. So sometimes if you have a friction with others, sometimes the whole life long, you can never normalize your relationship with somebody else. So unless God is really come into our heart, human being relation is very difficult to patch. One is broken, it's very difficult to mend. But this is the commandment of God. Last April, there was a sister came to New Jersey to attend the spiritual convocation. She gave a very wonderful testimony. I knew some of you attended that spiritual convocation. And she testified how God taught her to observe the Ten Commandments. Have you heard about this kind of testimony? You always heard the sermon speaker teach you about the Ten Commandments. And this sister, God taught her to keep the Ten Commandments. And the conclusion is, if anybody feel Ten Commandments is very easy to observe, either he is a saint or he does not know the Bible. This is the conclusion. It's very difficult. And he gives some example. What is the second commandment? What is the second commandment? Don't worship idol, right? What is the third commandment? Do not call the name of God in vain. Will you explain? Do not call the name of God. Yeah. Oh, okay. What is the name of God? Jesus, right? Do not call the... Okay, what does that mean? Thank you. Oh, you say show your deeds. Ah, that's exactly the point I want to make. Do not call the name of God's name in vain. Oh, one day he hired a contractor to repair. She hired a contractor to repair her kitchen, and the work was half done, and the contractor did not come anymore. And later on, her friend advise her, why don't you hire a lawyer? Oh, the lawyer always play a bad guy to sue that contractor. And inside her heart, she really have the resentment about that contractor. And she say, no, we are Christian. We will never sue anybody in the court. So she used a very nice word. She used the action, I don't want to sue the contractor because I am a Christian. But inside the heart, he resented that contractor to death. So after she said that, her son sick. So for several times, when she used the name of God, Jesus, without a reverence in her heart, then something happened to her family. So eventually she come to a conclusion, when we say do not call the name of God in vain, it's not only limited, you do not joke around the name of Jesus. It's not only limited, you cannot say a lot of bad things about the name of Jesus. It also refers to the inner thought in your heart. When you call the name of God, you use the name of Jesus, your heart should transformed, your thoughts should match to the noble name of Jesus Christ. This is one of example. And the second example, we talk about do not murder, do not kill, just like the same one. And her testimony is exactly the same with this one. If you only greet others superficially and in your heart, you do not really forgive others, then you are going to offend the sixth command. Of course, the sixth commandment also can be is extended to abortion. Now, after you get married, sometimes you will face this difficulty whether you want to have abortion. And in United States, abortion become legalized. So nobody can say anything. When you see two sides, pro-life and pro-choice, two sides arguing with each other, and you can find out their thinking is quite different. For those who pro-life, they emphasize on the baby inside mother's womb. The baby is separate life, and the life was created by God. So you have no right to take away the life created by God. And for those who pre-choice, they emphasize on the mother who conceived the baby. This is my body, so I have the right to make my decision about my own body. That's the difference. Your view of point different. But when we come to the Bible, do not murder. do not take away the life created by God. So contraceptive is okay, but abortion is no. Okay. From 27 to 32, Matthew 27, 5:27 to 32. Here he's talking about the adultery. You heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Verse 28. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Verse 29. And if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into the hell. If we try to explain this verse literally, what is going to happen? You are going to see a lot of brothers without eyes. Right? You just explain for the Bible literally. Sometimes you lose two eyes. But this is just trying to tell us, in order to avoid committing adultery in your heart, you have to pay every price to avoid it. If you accept the work, and this work will get you exposed in an environment, always make you to have a last word thought. It was better for you to change another job which had a lower pay. It's the same thing. Cut off one of your eyes. Eye is a very critical part. Because in order to avoid that kind of adulterous thought, even the most critical part, you can remove it. We use this this spirit applied in our daily life. So when God wants to judge us, He not only judge whether you really commit adultery physically, God is also judge you whether you have adultery in your heart. So right now, so-called marital infidelity can not only be confined as after you get married, you have a sexual relation with other part. Since the adultery is related to the thought in your heart, so the marital infidelity also can be extended to the infidelity in your heart. In the most inner part of your heart, if you secretly attach to another of the sex without the knowledge of your spouse, then it's considered the infidelity to your spouse. So a lot of people nowadays, they work in a company, they just flirting with their co-workers. They are not necessarily sleep together or have sexual relationship. And they just enjoy flirting with each other. Now, is that good? Of course, according to the Bible, you commit adultery in your heart. Maybe it's a lot of fun, but it's against the teaching of the Bible. Even you come to the church, one day you get married, you like particular of the sex, a brother or six, or sisters, and emotionally you attach to that sister, then it's not good at all. According to the Bible, it's not good at all. Even nobody knows it, only you know it. You're attached to another of the sex, and you have to hide from your spouse. That's another form of commit adultery in your heart. I read an article talking about New Jersey. A lot of divorce because of internet. Do you know why a lot of divorce because of internet? There are two explanations. The first is the wife become widow. Internet widow, because the husband just engaged so much time in the internet, and the wife has been neglected. So the wife filed the suit to divorce. The other one is one part is alcoholic, workaholic, addicted in work, and the other part feel lonely, just go into the internet for that kind of anonymous chatting and dating with others and talk randomly whatever words you want to talk because nobody know your identity, nobody know your phone number, nobody know your address. I love you, you love me, but nobody know who is who. Maybe the other part is the same sex. You never saw that. So this kind of happened in the last generation, in the last days. It's become a great temptation, really. It's a great temptation. People feel lonely, even they get married. They can have a good communication with their spouse, and they start to look for another of the sex to talk, to satisfy their inner desire about the of the sex. And that constitutes as an infidelity. It will jeopardize your relationship with God. We have to be very careful. And when in the church, not only in the church, but in the world, you talk with any of the sex, it's okay, but you have a very pure heart. And when you talk to a point that your spouse feels jealousy, then you have to stop. So jealousy itself is, according to the Bible, is part of the desire of the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5. But if you read the book of James, chapter 4, chapter 5, God is a jealous God. How come jealousy is no good and God is a jealous God? It turned out there are two kinds of jealousy. The first, it comes from the evil desire. And the second, it comes from love. God created husband and wife, so that kind of love is very exclusive. Only belong to husband and wife. If the third party get involved, there will be the jealousy. And that kind of jealousy is a protection that your marriage will never go astray. So do not commit adultery in your heart. Just that think, if you let your spouse know it, how will your spouse feel? If they feel jealousy, then it's not right. Even if you have no spouse, you are single. Whatever you do, you must be responsible to your future spouse. So keep your heart pure, according to the book of Proverbs or the book of Song of Solomon. Your heart just like a perfume. Don't let everybody go into your heart and taste that kind of sweetness in your heart. So once you get married, everybody know, I know him, I know you, I talk with him very deep. I know his thought, I enjoy his heart already. That's not right. You have to keep yourself tightly. And open your heart only when you find the one God prepared for you, and open your heart for that one. Don't open for your heart for everybody. Just like a humming and every bee coming. That's not right. So do not commit adultery, not only in a physical sense, but also in related to something in your heart. And in order to avoid committing adultery, you have to pay every price possible to avoid this kind of sin.